rather nice. Got a actual BBC ident. Thank you. Chris Tarrant here for the next couple of hours, celebrating 45 years of the BBC in Birmingham. I'm not actually a Brummie at all. I'm a Southerner, but I'm a sort of honorary Brummie. I spent so many years up here, and of course the 70s for me were very much the formative part of my life. I love Brum. I love being in the Midlands. So we're looking back over those years for the next couple of hours. Guests include Roy Wood and Mr. Noddy Holder from Slade, and playing lots of top tunes like this from Status Quo. Ah, Status Quo. God, that's beautiful. First saw them sometime in the 70s at the NEC, and I've seen them about 112 times since. I went to the Goodbye Forever tour at Milton Keynes. That was about 1982. Oh, splendid. I think there's this thing about, certainly was in the 60s, about Liverpool being the place that produces the bands, but actually there's been so many bands have come out of the Midlands, great bands. ELO, Wizard, of course, I'm talking to Woody a bit later on, Slay with Noddy, I'm talking to him as well, Moody Blues, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest. I remember seeing Duran Duran, who was sort of little band, used to hang around the Rum Runner at the end of Broad Street. I don't know, things have changed so much. The studios now, the old ATV studios have gone. It's very sad, actually. Rum Run has disappeared altogether. All those clubs have gone. I think one or two of those girls are still there. During that period, I mean, I was a Southerner. I'd been to Birmingham University, went off, and I was doing various jobs. And I wrote, mainly I was fishing, and I wrote this appalling letter. And it was longhand to every TV company in Britain, nothing like as many as there are now with all the satellites, but there's still a hell of a lot. And it had these phrases in it, including, "Dear sir, I am the face of the 70s. This is your chance to snap me up." Oh, God, I can't believe I wrote that. And most of them had the good sense to throw it in the bin and say things about keeping your letter on file. And there is no file, there's a bin. And ATV, as it was then, they offered me, I think they just wanted to see what sort of bloke wrote this letter. So they got me up for an interview, got my best suit on, combed me long hair. And they offered me a week's work. Now, I was checking this out a while back because I was obsessed with fishing. I seemed to have no ambition at all in those days. And they offered me a week's work. And this was in an October. And I pretended I was writing this film script. Oh, I'm very busy. I'd love to come. But obviously, I'm just finishing off this film script. And I kept on about this blooming script. It was complete rubbish. I was pike fishing. And if you check things out, the pike fishing season, well, the fishing season ends on March the 14th. And my career at ATV Today started on March the 15th, 1972. I had no career plan whatsoever. Still don't, really. That's why I'm here today. ABBA! I went to the 1 year anniversary of Mamma Mia, the stage show in London, and I had to introduce Björn and Benny on stage. Like, they really needed the money, and Mamma Mia went through the roof all over the world. But I introduced them, and it was like, because it was quite a mature audience, it was like a One Direction concert. People were, little old ladies were screaming, running towards them, pulling bits of hair out of Benny's beard. It was all very odd. But they did all right, didn't they? So I got this job at ATV Today for a week. And I carried on a weekly contract for a while. I think I got, I don't remember what I got now, about 40 quid a week. Far too much. And I had my one suit from Harry Fenton. And I was trying to be like every sort of ITN reporter you'd ever seen. And I was useless. This will come as no surprise to you, really. I was absolutely pathetic. I can never remember anybody's name. And I just sort of didn't like the people they sent me. They were politicians. They were mayors. They were shop stewards. I just didn't like them. So, and I think it probably saved my life, otherwise I'd have disappeared without trace after about 3 weeks' work. They gave me the lighter items. So I started doing things like the upside-down beer drinker. There's a bloke swallowing live goldfish. A man from Wolverhampton who lived with a live Shetland pony in his house. It was a great bit of film, but the smell was appalling. A soot juggler. A lovely old boy called Alf Tabb, who was 90-something, and he rode the world's smallest bicycle. He actually could ride this thing. It was just 5 inches high. I did all these nutters. I climbed up a church steeple to kiss the golden cockerel on the top. I went in the ring with a terrifying woman called Hellcat Haggerty, who beat lumps out of me. I was stomped on by a rodeo horse. I think ATV were trying to kill me. And then I ended up, but I met this bloke, lovely guy, mad as a trumpet, called Nicky Roberts. And he walked from Worcester to Evesham with two ferrets, live ferrets, down his pants. But for some reason, he did a practice with four ferrets.
From Evesham to Worcester, a distance of 13 miles, a round trip of 26 miles. That's a pretty fair Sunday stroll by anybody's standards. And certainly the one who's likely to carry it in the fastest amount of time is Nicky Roberts, because he'll be doing it with two ferrets down his trouser leg.
What does it feel like? Aren't you...
Well, uncomfortable.
Aren't you being bitten?
Not yet, no.
But they've got the sort of tooth that hang on, haven't they?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Is he still hanging on?
Not quite, no.
And this morning you stuck four down. Probably on Sunday you'll only use two, I think, if you've got any sense.
Well, I've got a lot of sense. I mean, everybody makes a four of themselves one time or other in their life.
Is it more difficult for them if you're moving?
Yeah, well, of course it is, because they're rubbing against your leg, ain't they?
You don't wear any sort of protection or anything like that?
Well, do you want to have a look?
Well, not really.
Oh, fair enough, then.
Marvellous. My dad saw that. It was the first time he'd ever seen me on TV. He thought I was being sort of Sir Trevor McDonald somewhere up in the Midlands, and he saw that and went, what on earth are you doing? Wonderful man. I don't know how he actually walked along the road with his wife following him on the pavement, checking after her, I don't know, her credentials or whatever. He did get bitten after about a mile as well. Of course, once they taste blood, never mind, they pile in. It's Chris Tarrant on BBC WM 95.6. It's the Legends Weekend. Oh, I love this. ELO. But a well-known club in Birmingham on a Tuesday night, pouring with rain, with Phil Lynott. And they wouldn't let him in. It's Phil Lynott. Don't care, he's wearing sneakers. There's three men and a dog inside. Sorry, I digress. Well, earlier on I was talking about some of the dafter items I did on ATV Today. One of the silliest ones of all, to this day, I don't actually know what it was all about. I think because the people involved didn't explain it very clearly. It was called worm sprogging. And the bloke who masterminded worm sprogging is Tony Wadsworth, who we're trying to link up with just now, but apparently he was in the middle of shopping in a gardening centre. It's all a bit rock and roll, your life, isn't it, Waddy? Good morning.
Hello. Hiya, Chris. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, and thank you for caring. So, worm sprogging, what an item it was.
Yes, it was.
What was it all about?
I've no idea.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me.
40 years ago.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Since then. But loosely, as I remember, it's not so much down to me, but a colleague of mine called Mike Withicum.
Oh, I remember him, little fat bloke.
Yeah, with blonde hair.
Yes.
Yes.
Very plump. Died of worms.
He devised this game as an entirely preposterous spoof. And somehow, you know, he sold it to me and ultimately to you. And he's ended up on ATV Today, well, as you well know.
I think it must have been a very particularly thin day on ATV Today. We did about a 3-minute item.
Well, it even ended up on Radio 4 as well.
Well, they're desperate on that. They don't have anything.
This is true.
Then you came to me because you were a sort of wandering investigative reporter on local radio. And you came to me when I was doing The Dying Fly for Tismas.
Oh. God,
no, you can't. No, yes, I am, because you came to me in a club with a load of men and women lying on their back, kicking their little arms and legs in the air, with funny little antlers on there, not antlers, antennae on their head. And you said to me, and this is your first question, the first time I've ever met you said, Chris, The Dying Fly, is it dangerous?
This is true, I did.
Well, of course it wasn't, it was just silly. And I thought, this man has no career in radio whatsoever. And here you are, 40-odd years later, still wittering away with that woman on Radio Leicester.
Just goes to show it pays to sleep around, Chris.
Well, it certainly works.
Would you like to comment on that?
No, I wouldn't, thank you. I have no statement to make at this stage. So you're still doing that, but also a bit later across this Legends Weekend.
Yes.
You're doing this.
Oh, it's Legend.
Yes.
It was Legend.
No. Bookends. No.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Can you just give us a clue to the contents of your fine show now you're out of the gardening centre?
Certainly, I'd be absolutely delighted. Yes, Julie and yours truly, as we are known here, there, and everywhere these days, are famous, spread far and wide, you know. Yes, we've been invited back, rather foolishly,
virtually
in my opinion,
expense.
By the management of BBC WM to reprise the late show that Julie and I fronted for quite some years, actually, and we had a great time. And we got all sorts of people coming in. Some people, the Late Show listeners, will possibly still remember, like the urban spaceman. He used to wander in a spacesuit as an astronaut to talk about the International Space Station. Yeah, I know, isn't it? And we've got a juggler coming in and a ventriloquist.
A radio juggler.
And,
ventriloquist. They used to be. Sometime before the dawn of time, there used to be this bloke, Archie Andrews, Peter Brough, a radio ventriloquist.
And
I remember my dad saying to me,
it
was shocking. I remember my dad saying to me, even on radio, I can hear his lips move.
This is true.
Shocking. Anyway, well, that's a biggie. Yeah. Obviously, the whole of the Midlands will be looking forward to that. Thank you, Waddy. Good luck.
They're better.
Don't worry.
Lovely to talk to you, mate. Take care.
Don't worry. You'll find work. Hopefully, nowhere near me again. This is Neil Diamond.
Ellie's fine, the sun shines most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am my cry. Became one. Well, except for the names and a few other changes, if you talk about me, the story's the same one. But I got an emptiness deep inside that I've tried, but it won't let me go. And I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I never cared for the sound of being alone. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am, I cry. Did I?
Neil Diamond, great voice. Saw him at Wembley a couple of years ago. Saw him at the NEC about 10 years ago, I think. I was thinking about this morning about bands I've seen in Birmingham. I saw Bob Dylan, very early days at Birmingham Town Hall. He was fantastic. I do a bit of fishing, as you know. And I got blagged into doing this pro-celebrity fishing thing a few years back in the Midlands. And a lot of very famous fishermen, a lot of very famous celebs turned up. It was a good turnout for charity. And I blagged my mate, who runs a tackle shop in Birmingham, I blagged him a ticket to come along on the sort of celebs mates team. And they stuck him up the far end of this lake. We were fly fishing, and they stuck him up the far end of this lake. And every time I looked up, right down the far end, I could see Phil desperately trying to get his flies out the tree with a very patient man with him. And we broke at lunch, and I said, "All right, Phil, how are you, mate?" He said, "Oh, it's all right. I said, a bit stuck in the tree a lot." He said, "Ever such a nice bloke there. Kept helping me, didn't seem at all annoyed by me, and kept helping me get me fly out the tree and tie on another hook and all this." I said, "Oh, which one is he?" And he pointed to this bloke, and I went, "Oh, yeah, him." And he said, I know him. He's dead famous. He comes in my shop a lot. I think he's a really well-known fisherman. He comes in my shop a lot and buys maggots. I know him." And I said, "No, you do know him, Phil, but he doesn't come in your shop to buy maggots. You know him because he's Eric Clapton." I was driving through Stratford-on-Avon a while back, and in front of me was a strange-looking car with a man with a great mob of hair, which was, I think it was orange, green and silver, and this great big padded silver jacket. And I went, "Oh, look, there's Woody." And Woody stopped his car and got out and go, "Hello, mate, how do you know it's me?" It couldn't be anybody else, Roy. Roy, good morning.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. How are you getting on with your railway travels? I've been watching it. Flipping hell, you've been through some stuff.
I can't imagine you watching the telly, Wood. I don't know why. I watch telly.
There were very few programmes. You know, I watch that and the Daily Politics and... that's about it, really.
Well, my fondest memories of you, and you and I have known each other forever, but when you wrote and composed a superb TV theme for me called Stay Back, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was good, and actually it was the best thing about the programme.
That was a very good programme, and nowadays, I mean, they have programmes about everything now, don't they? Blooming pottery and everything.
Yeah,
why haven't they got a programme like that, I wonder?
I know. I was talking to Jimmy Tarbuck the other day. I said, "Jim, why aren't you on telly anymore?" I said, "Because I can't cook."
Yeah.
But spot on. No, what I was going to say was I was very genuinely, as a mate, I was very impressed because, well, firstly, you lived like a bat. You were basically awake all night and sleep all day.
Yeah.
And propped up with great cans of Carlsberg. But you actually wrote and recorded every single word, the backing tracks, the lead vocals, all the instruments. And you've kind of always done that, haven't you?
Well, sort of, really, yeah. And nobody likes a clever dick. It's one of them, really. I mean, I did that because when I finally started earning a little bit, I started to collect instruments, and it's difficult to collect them and not have a go on them. So I thought, yeah, I'll use it as... Because you don't have to be a virtuoso to use a strange instrument on a recording. You just need to learn that one thing, you know, that one
song. Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people appreciate how all-round talented you are, because you really can do the lot, can't you?
You
have a good go.
I'm not brilliant at anything, but you know, it sounds all right.
Did you not have problems with the union saying you had to employ musicians, and you went, "But I don't need to because I can do it all better myself"?
I released some singles, solo singles, which I played all the instruments on, and they were saying, "Oh no, you can't go on Top of the Pops, or you can't go on TV shows and do that, just do that yourself, and because you're doing other musicians out of a job and all that, you know."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, they wouldn't have had the job anyway if I hadn't written a flipping song, you know.
We had the same thing on Tiswell, so we had to employ a musician. In the end, we put the head of the musicians union in Birmingham, we put him on the piano. We put a pig's head on him.
Yeah, Johnny Patrick.
It was wonderful. And Johnny'd sit there every week with a pig's head on.
I don't think he ever lived that one down.
He was happy, he got paid. So what are you up to now, Roy? Have you finally put your feet up? You stopped recording, you're still touring.
Yeah,
what
sure.
are you doing?
Yeah. There's a tour starting next week, in fact. And I haven't actually been on stage since before last Christmas, so it's a bit, nervy time, really. And we've got 14 gigs in. And so all that, really. And I'm working on a new album as well. which is why I'm, I mean, I'm trying to cram all this recording in before the tour starts next week. Otherwise, it won't get done till after Christmas. And I've recorded a couple, and I did a Beach Boys one, Breakaway, and because I actually got up and sang with him a couple of months ago at Barclaycard Arena, which is great because they're the heroes of.
Oh, they were extraordinary, weren't they? I mean, I never liked the music much, but they were extraordinary. I mean,
they were great at harmonies,
what they achieved was brilliant.
What happened, I was invited along to do it, and they actually learned one of my songs. They learned Fire Brigade. And
really?
Yeah, I was singing it with these in-ear monitors in, and did the first verse, okay, like as per normal, and then all these harmonies came in, and all my hair stood up, you know, it was fabulous.
Your hair always stands up.
Yeah, of course it does.
Your hair's and built then, to stand up.
And they let me stay on with him to sing Fun, Fun, Fun at the end, and it's great, because, I mean, they're my favourite band, really, of all time.
Well, you've been in Idle Race, Move, ELO, Wizard, and so many other bands since.
Yeah.
Do you not just want to sort of put your toes up and...
What am I going to do? I mean, I'm like you. I'll get bored.
Yeah, I am. I'm a bit... Well, you can't even fish, can you?
No, you'll have to teach me, mate.
No, you'd be... And also, you're supposed to tuck yourself away behind rushes. You can't tuck yourself away in camouflage behind rushes with bright green and red hair and a silver jacket and boots.
It does have its downside, really.
Hang on, Woody. Let me play one of your favourite tunes. Hang on just a sec. I thought you'd like this. The royalties going in again to Wood Mansion. Roy Wood, I wish it could be Christmas every day. You know that bit, my favourite bit, where you go, OK, kids, take it! Yeah. Some of those kids now must be about 50 with beards.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Do you ever see them? I suppose you don't see them anymore.
They're all drawing the pension now.
You probably couldn't do that anymore, on top of the pot, shouting at children.
No, you'd probably be locked up. It's all gone down the drain, isn't it?
What are your thoughts when you hear that, apart from ka-ching, there's more money to Mr. Wood? What do you think when you hear that?
Well, it's all, you know, really, I never listen to my old stuff. I mean, at home or anywhere else, really. I mean, once I've written the song and it's gone out of my head, I'm on to the next one, you know, the new one, but... if that one comes on the radio, I think, well, you know, yeah, I'm proud of it. It's all right. It was a good record. But it's strange.
That's
because, you know, obviously at the time, you don't realise that it's... I thought it was going to do all right, but to still be popular all these years later, you know, I never ever thought that, to be fair. But the only problem with that is I thought, well, you know, maybe it could be my pension. But with the invention now of downloads, it's made it more difficult. And it's one of those songs, a bit like Happy Birthday to You,
but
it's too easy to get free, you know. Yeah. And people don't, I mean, they don't want to hear it all the year round anyway. So they just get it for nothing, and like the royalties have gone down the pan. You know,
so the pension is draining away, basically.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah.
Oh, no. Do you think everybody looks on you, I mean, very much as a sort of multi-zillionaire rock star?
No, I'm not.
You know, sort of living. Well, I know, but sort of living in exile in the Midlands and all. They have this image of you as sort of, you know, Robert Plant or Jeff Lynne or someone, don't they?
But to be honest, you're not
struggling. But at the same time, you never made the millions that I always thought you should. Actually.
No, not really. No. Well, you know, I mean, you speak to other people in the business. I mean, I'm big mates with Rick Wakeman, you know, and both of us went through all that. You know, people filching money off you. You know, and,
that stuff.
Yeah.
And Quo as well.
Yeah. They did, yeah.
Francis from Quo was telling me once in a dressing room somewhere in Europe in the middle of some massive tour years ago when they sold out records all over the place and sold out concert, whatever, he said, I remember our then manager come in and he got me and Rick, because we had a joint signature account, and he said, Rick and I signed a whole checkbook.
Wow.
And handed it back, and he said, to this day, I have no idea where any of those checks went. Isn't that
strange? Yeah.
Woody, you're a very nice man.
So are you.
How nice to talk to you, mate. Take care. Thanks for coming on. Cheers. Take care.
Brilliant.
Bye, Woody. Bye,
look after yourself, mate. Bye.
NCC, I'm Not In Love. Loving these 70s tunes today. Chris Tarrant on BBC WM 95.6. It's the Legends Weekend. Yeah, Tiswell's changed, well, my life, all our lives. They wanted to do this, I was doing ATV Today, trying to be a sensible journalist-ish, and they wanted somebody ever so slightly off the wall to come on a children's television programme they were starting. This is in 1974, called Tiswell's. And I joined that, and it was just the best fun. I did ATV Today and Tis Wars for about another year, and in the end there was what they called a credibility gap, which meant on the Friday I was reading out news about a bus crash or something. On the Saturday I was sitting there with beans down my trousers. It didn't quite flow together. So I chose to go for beans and buckets and things. And Sally James, no. Spit the Dog, Lenny Henry, The Phantom, all that lot. John Gorman, we had such a laugh. We did this thing once called, for some reason, I wanted to, with my producer hat on, we did The Celebrity Cage. And we pelted these people with water and rubbish all morning. We got an American rock band called Goldie and the Gingerbreads, who were just fantastic. Got Status Quo, the late splendid John Peel, Motorhead, various people all crammed into this cage. And every time there was a lull in the show, which was most of the time, most mornings, we pelted them with rubbish. And at one point, I was doing a sketch with Lenny Henry, and unmistakably in my nostrils, there's me, the producer of what is ostensibly a children's television programme, live. And I thought, somebody's smoking marijuana, and somebody has got a spliff in the cage. And I pelted the cage with water and everything else and put the offending item out. And to this day, I've never, ever said who was smoking that joint. And I never will. But I met him last Tuesday.
On FM.
Freeview, digital radio
and online.
Your voice in the West Midlands.
BBC WM 95.6.
Good morning, it's 10 o'clock. I'm Chris Blakemore. Police are continuing to investigate after... BCWM Legends Weekend is continuing today. It's to celebrate 45 years of the radio station, which started off life as Radio Birmingham. Former presenters and famous broadcasters from the West Midlands will be on the air today and tomorrow. BBC Midlands Today's Nick Owen will be on at 11 o'clock until 2 today.
I'll be talking to old friends, people I worked with from all those years ago, some fantastic sort of memories and anecdotes and so on, and playing some of the music from the 70s, you know, particularly the actual first year of BBC Radio Birmingham as it was then.
And some of that music will be played on vinyl. Lots of sport on BBC WM as well today.
First big hit for Rod Stewart. Whatever happened to him? Just remembering way back, Kenny Everett used to do an impression of Rod Stewart with his dreadful blow-up inflatable leopard skin trousers. Just why I laugh. Why I know anything about fashion. Fashion was always sort of a bit of a minefield for me. And then in the 70s, it was that thing about whether we wore big wide flares or skin-tight drain pipes, and I was never quite sure. And it was the sort of knock-on from the mods versus rockers things and all that. I just remember I went into the shop in Brum, one of those ones under the arches down in the bull ring, and this bloke couldn't believe he got rid of these things. I bought this pair of, well, a suit basically, this pair of trousers off this bloke, and they had one leg was the really tight sort of 9-inch drain. I've still got them somewhere in a garage. Really tight sort of 9-inch drain pipe, and the other was huge. Great big 24-inch flare bell-bottom thing. And I bought them because the bloke said to me, he said, trust me, sir, trust me, these will last you forever because every few years, one of your legs will be high fashion. Now, trust me on this, it didn't work. It actually means that every single day of your life, you look an absolute wazzock. David Bowie is the nicest bloke, without exception, I've ever interviewed. I was really sort of like, oh, David Bowie, oh. He was the nicest, gentlest man. And I just said, can you do, it's on a radio thing a few years ago, and I said, will you take a few calls, please, Mr. Bowie? And he said, yeah, mate, put them on. And all these blokes started ringing up saying, oh, Dave, I remember you. We used to go on the 97 bus coming out of Streatham Garage. And he goes, oh, yeah, I used to use that. Then I used to go to Camberwell and the other one. And all these people ringing up talking to David Bowie about buses he used to use. And this is in the Ziggy Stardust days. Splendid human being. No entourage, nothing, no fuss. Good boy. As is, because it's radio and all the links can flow together, as is my former colleague, Nick Owen, who's on after me this afternoon. Do you see the way I did that? It's a gift, isn't it?
Such a talent. It's is this your equivalent of phoning a friend, Chris?
Oh, don't you? Do you know, every day, and you know this, every day of my life, or something like that. And I finished a year ago. Yes, phone a friend. Phone a friend. Yes, yes, I'm phoning a friend. Hello. They usually go bright red as well. Oh, he's probably heard that a time or ten. Good morning, Mr. Owen. Now,
good morning.
Let me picture you. Where are you now? You're preparing for your top show. You're probably sending me some old whiskery vinyl records.
Yeah, to give the station a bit of a lift once you come off air.
Eleven till two.
Old colleagues. I know it is a marathon. We play a lot of music.
After you talk to your old friends and old colleagues, what are you going to do the rest of the 2¾ hours?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Have you planned the? Have you planned the show?
I've been helped to plan the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'll be great.
You're just going to come in and sprinkle it with fair dust.
Yes, lots of nostalgia. Talking to people like Jim Rosenthal, who started about 3 weeks before me on BBC Radio Birmingham back in the 70s.
That's a nice band.
And, yeah, very and fantastic nice memories with him. Bob Warman, of course, who you know so well, and I do. We worked together at ATV. That's a good question.
He's sort of
possibly
Birmingham's
the longest running TV
diners,
presenter in the world. Yeah, I know.
I think he probably is. Did you and he start at the same time? He and I started the same time.
Did you?
Yes, and there was that funny little Irish, what was he called? Derek Hobbo.
Derek Hobson, yeah.
He went off to do New Faces.
New Faces,
and then he was doing That's My Dog.
Yes, that's
and then nobody ever heard of him again.
No.
I've no idea.
And I don't know what happened to him. But, so I'm chatting to Bob, and we go back a long way, because Bob and I actually at school together in the 1950s.
Were you really?
Which is
were you both at Roding?
Yes, that's right. Both in the school hockey
lovely
team at Roding, yeah. And I'm also hoping to chat to Jim Coombs. Do you remember the Aston Villa goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Who had his own show on a Sunday morning on Radio Birmingham in the 70s. So we'll be chatting to him. And just generally sort of going back over the years, some of my memories, learning
Were you joined
business.
ATV Today and you went up to the sports lot, didn't you?
Yes.
Because you were a bit of a keen sportsman, as you still are.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And then when did you go off to become Roland Ratt?
Yeah, you hated that rat, didn't you?
I did hate it. And that horrible gerbil, that blooming thing.
Oh, you shouldn't talk about Iron Diamond like
that. No, I'm not talking about Diamond. The gerbil. Do you remember the little Welsh? Hello, yeah. What's it called?
There was Errol.
Errol. No, not Errol. Errol the gerbil, no.
Oh,
anyway, there's a gerbil I hate.
Kevin the gerbil.
Yeah. That's right.
Errol the hamster.
Anyway, you joined them.
Yes. That's in 1983. That was 83, and then you
joined
us.
As well, I know.
Yeah, and lowered the tone.
I came to save the show.
Yeah.
Good days. And now you're back in the Midlands.
Yes, and loving it. 17 years on Midlands Today, old
same son. Suit.
Yes, indeed.
Same
but, I mean, I'm just thinking, when Radio Birmingham started, you were still a school teacher, weren't you? Sort of living in the back of a van or something.
I wasn't living in a van all the time. I only lived in the van for 6 months. Then it got too cold, and my love life was a bit of a disaster.
But it was.
It still is. Okay, well, it sounds a hell of a show, Nick, and I can't wait. I'll be listening.
I'm sure you will.
When you're down.